It's a brand new week, and we're checking in on the Sock Puppets to see how they're doing with their Point Counterpoint podcast. Will they create something amazing? Find out on this episode of America's Next Top Podcaster. Welcome to America's Next Top Podcaster. I'm Brian Ibbett. It's Point Counterpoint Podcast Week, and the Sock Puppets, Bobby, David, Don, and Kristen, are riding high from their win in Challenge 1. We'll listen in on their coaching sessions with Mark and Hal from the We Got This podcast, their coaching session with Tom, and later on in the show, listen to their submission. But before any of that, let's touch base with Don, a.k.a. Diddy, about how the team is getting along. Dave Lusader of the Sock Puppets. Welcome, David, and congratulations.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been kind of surreal and very exciting.
Now, what did you think of your first judging and elimination episode? I know, you know, of course you guys won, so that's good. But overall, like, there's still a lot of info that came out of that as far as criticisms and kudos and things like that.
Yeah, I can't begin to express the nerves that settle into your stomach. And this, let this be a word to people in future seasons who are listening now, because I listened to the first season and I had no idea what those people must be going through. It doesn't hit you until you're in the moment. And we started with Jenny, who gave us very good notes, but also some very real criticism. And to have that be the thing out the gate when you have all these nerves, you're like, oh no, what has happened? And you know, the praise was great when it did come from the likes of Scott and Jury and all that. But it was still like, you know, that's okay, that's nice. But then, oh no, here's a criticism and
Well, and that whole lead up time when you don't know what's coming and you're kind of preparing yourself. Yeah, I totally get that. Jenny had some great advice too about, you know, commit to the bit. We heard that a couple times last night, and I love that advice because it's something that I can even use in my day-to-day podcasting. You know, a lot of the stuff that I do is not, there's not a character that I'm playing, but it's still a, you know, it's still a keep going with it kind of mentality. And I'm assuming you guys are going to be taking advantage of that for this upcoming week as well.
Yeah, it was wonderful advice, and it's become a thing that in our planning session so far for this week, we have repeated over and over again. It is care about the thing that you're doing, because that comes through very clearly to the audience. And it is something that we have taken to heart, and we are going to carry into this challenge and hopefully all challenges going forward. And as you said, in kind of everything I do outside of this competition as well.
Yeah, it makes a difference. And it's funny, I picture all of you guys, even though I know you're in different places, with the exception of two of the players in this competition, you guys, you know, they're all scattered all over the United States, but I picture you guys all sitting in a room together with a big sign posted on the bulletin board or written on the dry erase board that says, care about what you're doing, commit to the bit.
Yeah, it's at the top of our Google Doc now for this fantastic week. Just commit to the bit.
Before we talk about this week, let's talk one more thing about, you brought up Scott and his advice, his criticisms, and his kudos, but he seemed to think that you guys weren't playing a real game of D&D.
Yeah, that was a little harsh.
Yeah, do you want to set the record straight? I heard dice rolling. Sounded real.
Right. Well, that goes back to Bobby putting some extra work in for the immersion. But even though we weren't rolling dice in a room together, we were playing D&D.
Just kind of a little mini campaign, right? Like a little...
Yeah,
made for a 10-minute podcasting campaign.
Right, exactly. I got the honor to create the session, and it was like, you know, I'm a DM outside of this podcast as well, so it was really hard to not have my brain go all these places to create an actual session. It's like, how can I strip it down to just a couple things happening that's going to fit in a couple of minutes?
Sure, makes sense. Great. Well, now let's talk about this week. Point, counterpoint. Do you guys have some ideas you're tossing around?
Yeah, we have one idea we're circling right now. We're still tossing around ideas to keep the creative juices flowing, but our main idea is to look at dating topics, because that's something that people have a lot of opinions on. And the idea would be to take a topic and look at it from two different viewpoints. The main idea that came up in our discussion was, is a movie a good first date? Because that is a conversation I've had with friends. It's a conversation that I've had with people all around. And some people say yes, some people say no. That's not necessarily the topic we're going to go with, but it's kind of stuff in that realm.
Yeah. Yeah, that is a good topic, because I could even see both sides of it. I could see, like, all right, well, yeah, it's a nice, easy way to break the ice with somebody brand new. But also, B, you're sitting together in the dark, quietly next to each other for 2 hours and not communicating. Right. So, wow, that would be an interesting one. A good choice on that. You're getting some coaching this week, not just from Tom, as you do every week, but you got the bonus this week of getting a little coaching with Hal and Mark from the We Got This podcast. Mm-hmm. Excited about that? That's happening tonight.
Yeah, I'm very excited, because not only are we going to get some great advice from them, I imagine, but also I know them from some other projects they've done. I've listened to some episodes of We've Got This with Mark and Hal, so I'm already a fan going in to getting to talk to these guys.
Excellent. Well, they're really good guys. They're great for doing this and kind of getting together with you guys. It's funny, they're even going to be in two different locations, so we're going to have seven people on this call that are all in different parts of the world. But should be very interesting, and they're, you know, this is what they do. They're going to have some good advice for you, and I'm sure you guys have some good questions for them. Cool. Well, I'm excited to hear what you guys come up with. We're going to hear some of that later on in this episode, so we'll get to that. Hey, thank you so much for your time, David.
Thank you.
We are here with Mark and Hal from the show We Got This with Mark and Hal. Welcome, guys.
Thank you so much. Nice to be here.
Yeah. It's great to have you guys here. As you know, the challenge this week is to create a point counterpoint debate style podcast. And I could think of nobody better than the two of you to help our winning team, the Sock Puppets, with their preparations for the challenge this week. So allow me to introduce to you Don, Kristen, David, and Bobby, the Sock Puppets. I'm going to start the timer right now.
Congratulations, Sock Puppets. What do you got for us?
Yeah. Thank you very much.
Well, I think our first question is around research, and how much do you guys research for an episode?
Well, we got lucky. We have a researcher who was a fan of the show who approached us, who was like, hey, can I do some research for you guys? And we thought, great. But on the episodes where we don't have Kate McManus, it's really, an hour on the internet is about all we need, I think. For our show, because we do so much tangential things. Like, I'll ask Hal about, you know, his day, as opposed to I found out this crazy deep dive detail thing. Some episodes we need it, some episodes we don't.
Yeah, I think the trick is to not be bogged down by whatever research you're bringing to the table. When we started, those were the roles we discussed, that Mark was going to be the one who does research and I was going to be the one who never does research. And that sort of helps the flow. And sometimes when Kate's unavailable to do the research, Mark will do it himself. But I think that sometimes we can fall into that trap. So it's important to go, what do I really need to bring here? How much of this is about the information that we're researching versus the actual back and forth between the four of you?
And I think that's the main thing about a researched or a show that needs to have researched topics. The show is not about the topic. The show is about the sock puppets.
Right. That's a really good point. That's a really good thing to remember. I think you're right. So having said that, like, what do you think actually keeps the debate interesting? Is it just making sure you have an interesting conversation, or are there other things that you try to make sure you're doing during all of that?
You know, when we're discussing something that's wide ranging, where there are a lot of items that people would bring to the table afterwards and go, oh, you should have mentioned X, Y, or Z, that we sort of get those in there. But for me, and I think Mark will agree with this, we're going to find out when I'm done talking, that the goal is for you to feel like you're in the room with a couple of your friends and that you're part of the debate. And that's really the thing of it, is let's have a natural conversation and see where it goes. And we know that our job at the top is to come up with an answer to whatever question we set up. And how we get there is like the family circus kids crossing the street. We go all over the place, and that's fine as long as Mark usually brings us back to where we need to be.
Yeah, we will branch out in all directions. Another thing I'd say is it's nice for our show. We always have a topic, or generally have a topic, that isn't too terribly inside. We try to keep the topics really general, because in the best world for this show, if an audience member is listening to it and we're talking about cereal mascots, people don't think they have an opinion about cereal mascots until you start talking about them. And it's like, what? No, how can you eliminate the bee from Honey Nut Cheerios? He does so many different things. Yeah, Tony the Tiger plays soccer. You know what I mean? Like, it's, you find things that everyone has a little bit of zeitgeist knowledge of. But I will say, for our show in particular, one thing that we came across later on is at the top of the show, setting the criteria for the debate, saying this is the stuff we're going to focus on as a conversation. For example, if we're doing best French fry cut, we will try to think of some fun, different criteria that would lead to a good French fry cut, like crispiness factor and how many you can fit in your hand. You know, just like whatever things become the criteria that we use.
Right. Like, you're sort of drawing a circle around. Like, I listened to your friends episode. You did that there where you said, like, this is what we're talking about. Is it best friend or is it best, you know, character, stuff like that, you know, like.
Yeah, so we're all having the same debate.
Right.
That's, I think, is an important part of it.
How would you approach your show in a 10-minute version? Do you think it's possible?
We've actually been asked to do that because we've done like radio hits before, where they're like, okay, you have 10 minutes, go. And it really is for us following that pattern of like, okay, what are we figuring out? What are the criteria? These are the criteria. It's almost as if we set the table in front of us with whatever the chart is that we're looking at. I'd say a 10-minute version, really, if it's possible to make it visual for yourself so that you know you're going to get all the way through it.
Yeah, and it's also what we do episodes called Clean Slates, where we take small topics and a bunch of them. We'll do like 10 in an hour. And so when we're doing that, and when we've done live stuff before and we have a limited amount of time, it's really, how do you distill what would be a meandering 45-minute conversation to 10 minutes? It's a little bit easier because you just sort of go to what the greatest hits are. You sort of establish, this is my position, here's why. And if there are four of you, you each sort of state your opinion, and then you make a decision from there. And it's just a quicker decision rather than a ton of back and forth. I think for four people in particular, that's probably what I would suggest.
Yeah.
If you're taking two sides, if you're split up that way, is bring your point of view to the table and then sort of quickly figure out which one of those quote unquote wins.
And I think in our long episodes, we really have a tendency to actually earnestly want to get the right answer. In our Clean Slate episodes, where we're doing it quickly, part of the fun is that we get some of them wrong and our audience screams at their car stereos that we're getting it wrong. But it's go with your gut in something like that.
How do you decide, you know, who the winner is going to be? Have you ever had to just kind of concede for the episode? Just like, Yes. Okay, we're going to, okay. Asked and answered.
Yeah. If I can tell that Hal is going to not budge, or if he can tell that I am not going to budge, and I look down at the clock and I'm like, we're at 55 minutes. This is not a hill I need to die on. The show could go on forever. I will concede. I'll never say that, but my brain will do that.
and part of the key from an entertainment perspective, because I don't think people want to listen to any groups of people go, well, I'm not going to give any quarter to you. is to try to find some validity in the other person's argument and just go for there. Like, okay, that's a decent point. And let's go with that. Because you've already said your piece. It's already out there.
Yeah, the whole thing, if it's done with fun and love, people are going to listen to it.
So if you, in what the episodes where you're taking sides, because I know sometimes you're not, you're just discussing it, but how do you decide whose side, who's going to take what side, or or do you have to decide that ahead of time? Is it already natural or what?
We've never approached it that way on purpose, because I always felt like it would feel inorganic if we did that. Say, I'm going to take this position, you're going to take that position, and then we'll see where we get. I do think naturally there are a lot of times where there's friendly conflict in the fact that Mark and I are very different people, as I'm sure the four of you are all different from one another.
Sure, yeah.
And that's going to, you're going to naturally fall one way or the other. So rather than feel like it's a rhetorical debate from high school, that it's more, well, how do I feel about this? You can talk about that a little bit ahead of time, so you sort of know where you're going to fall.
I think it's, can you hear me? I just lost sound.
Seriously pre-planning.
I can hear you.
Okay, good. Sorry. Hal just cut out, but that's okay. I've been waiting for this day for years.
Yeah, that's right.
You win.
I was going to say the one time we seriously pre-planned it was when we did Twizzlers versus Red Vines, where we knew we both felt the same way.
Go ahead.
And it was,
can we
get 25 minutes out of this?
No, I think we lost Mark. No.
Did you lose me now?
No, we still have you.
I'm back.
Yep.
Okay. I hear you.
So if you got another question.
I think that they will. I think that opinions reveal themselves rather than we go in from the top with them.
Right.
Okay.
So I guess the last question I would have is how do you, what is it, what is the one thing that you would suggest to keep in mind to keep the a debate or discussion about this interesting and entertaining?
Ooh, Hal?
Yes.
I think we lost him.
We lost, totally lost. Oh, Hal just texted me. I can't hear anyone.
I can only hear you.
Oh, you can hear me, Hal?
That's it.
Okay. Oh, that's good. Can you repeat the question to me and I'll send it to Hal? I know we're going a little over, but you can edit this, right?
Yeah, I'll give you guys some extra time for this. Right.
Yeah. So I guess the question is, what is, if you could just give us one piece of advice, one thing to keep in mind.
If you could give one piece of advice, Hal.
About how to make sure, about how to keep things entertaining and interesting.
Mm-hmm. About how to keep things entertaining and interesting. Hal?
I would say that the thing that is most entertaining is to be yourselves.
You all have sort of natural personality and things
that make you funny. So rather than feel the pressure to put something on, it's always better to be yourselves. And I assume the four of you have rapport and sort of letting that shine
through. The
beauty
of Zencaster, folks.
I love that. Yeah.
They can't hear you, but I can.
Okay, so you tell them what I said.
Just to echo what Hal is saying, I would say that it's about you. You are the draw. So keep it friendly, keep it fun. Like, imagine like a real conversation that you'd want to have. If you're sitting around and people are friendly and care about each other and know at the end of the day that this is not going to end friendships, you know, have fun doing it. So an audience will hear that and they'll enjoy it. If it gets uncomfortable and mean and angry, then nobody wants to listen to that.
Oh, and have energy.
All right. And that's
and
time.
Also always have energy.
All right. Yeah.
A little cherry on top right there. Yeah. Awesome. Well, I'm hoping that Hal still continue to record on his side and we can totally edit
I'm looking at a waveform next to Hal.
Oh, good. Okay,
so,
good.
So this is what it's going to be like when I die.
The lines and the needle is still moving on hell. Thank goodness.
Afterlife.
I was going to have to get the paddles out. Very good. Well, you know,
I can see why you guys were on that panel.
These are fantastic. And, well, heck, I knew why you guys were on that panel even before we started doing this. Mark and Hal, and please pass this on to Hal. Thank you guys for being here. You guys are fantastic. And what I might do, because I know that we record the judging episode too early for you to join us.
Oh, no.
What I might do is send you all three submissions this week and either have you guys just record a thing where you give your opinions on them that we can edit into the show if you'd like. You're certainly, you don't have to, but if you want to at least hear what people did this week as their submissions,
that sounds great.
Three 10-minute shows to listen to.
Yeah, we'd love to do it.
Cool. And then you can decide, you know, if you want to record something, send it back to me and we'll edit it in the show.
Awesome.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys. And thank you, Sock Puppets, for being here.
So how do you feel about week one, Sock Puppets?
Obviously good. Pretty good.
Yeah.
We did all right.
Big targets.
Tom, we sort of have to contribute it to you because when we gave you our initial idea, you sort of were like, okay.
And then when we
threw out the other ones, you were like, ooh, I like that. We changed directions.
Well, good. I mean, you know, I'm just here to throw out ideas, and if they work, they work. And if they don't, you know, that's it's fine. But Rules as Intended was well constructed. It was entertaining. It had great editing, good use of effects. I mean, you guys deserve all the credit for
Thank
that. It was just really well done.
Thank you.
Almost felt like I was hearing the audio of a video. Not in a bad way. Like I felt things were left out, but like it was that good.
Thank you.
Awesome.
Wow. Well, thanks.
Yeah. Bobby did a really good job editing. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well done. So, I mean, I have a couple of other notes. Maybe it was a little hard for me to tell people apart if I wasn't paying attention, but you did so much signposting that was probably me more than you. It was really fun. Did a great job of delivering personalities without just telling me them. That was really good. So that's all the notes I have. They're not very constructive because they're so positive.
Well, thank you. That's good feedback.
So what are we thinking for this week?
So for this week, we are kind of focusing a little bit more on format than necessarily topic. We think we have a format that a lot of topics could work for. We're going to kind of be looking to answer a certain question. So just like, for example, you know, we would say, which sandwich is best?
Mm-hmm.
And then you would have the debaters each come in. Instead of coming in and listing out, you know, now we're going to talk about sandwiches for 10 minutes. Everybody comes in with a predetermined side. So somebody might be like, the Reuben is the best, the Monte Cristo is the best. And then we're going to take time to
carry on.
All right. So instead of trying to list all these major sandwiches, everybody, the debaters will come in with a side. And then like somebody might be the Monte Cristo, somebody might be the Reuben. And we take the time to just battle our sides out and come up with a winner in the end.
So these are side battles.
Yes. Bobby, go ahead.
So like he said, the topic isn't so much the important part. The point is that we're thinking of approaching it as sort of like what's the best of something. For one of the actual ideas that we had was what is the best the best fast food restaurant or the most romantic fast food restaurant to take your to go on for a first date. Yeah. So like light but
entertaining.
An opportunity to sort of like one of the pieces of advice we got from Mark and Hal in our session with them was make it more about us as personalities and less about so
the
much
topic.
About the topic.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. And so we thought going that way and yeah, so that's kind of where we are.
Yeah. Gotcha. So what, these are good ideas. What are you trying to achieve in the end? What's the takeaway you want to have me have as a listener?
We want the listener to also come away with having their own thoughts on what we have. You know, but we want to make it engaging and bringing up these points that the people listening at home are like, well, okay, I see what they're saying, but also like they didn't mention this. You know, like they're kind of engaged also in the subject as we're talking.
Yeah. Okay. Say that again, but use the subject and use a concrete example of what you're talking about.
So let's say we go with which fast food place the best for a date. And, you know, we talk through it and someone just says like Hardee's and we all at the end agree that it's Hardee's. And the listener, maybe they're persuaded. They say, okay, I see why you said Hardee's, but nobody in that entire time ever once talked about Burger King.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they feel
basically,
like they're...
we want them. Yeah, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to talk.
No, no, no. Go ahead.
We want them to have feelings about it. Like, we want them to right away be like, I also have an opinion about this. Maybe I didn't think I did, but I definitely do. Mm-hmm. You know.
Yeah, you want to represent as many different points of view on this as possible. Mm-hmm. But you also want people to be entertained and go, that was so much fun to listen to.
Right.
And when I said, so it's side battles, I wasn't being disparaging. Like, that could be really fun, because some of the most fun debates on the internet are about the silliest things, right? And people can get really worked up about pickles versus fries versus onion rings. And that could be good too. But yeah, I think you've got your head in the right space, which is, you know, focus on that result. And the thing that I would add to it is try to anticipate what kinds of perspectives people would want to hear and deliver those. Again, not with faking it out or anything like that, but you know, try to cover a spectrum so that there are people, like you say, who go, but they never said anything about Burger King. But there are also people who say, like, oh my gosh, I'm glad they brought up Carl's Jr. or, you know, because that is Hardee's, or you know, try to add some breadth to the debate as well.
We do have the plan of having criteria be spelled out prior to prior to the side battles, is so that you don't go, wait, why is Denny's not in this? Why is something that's not specifically fast food?
Yeah. Or also you'll know, like, why we picked the winner, because we said, well, this one has the best ambiance, and that's kind of what we were aiming towards in the criteria.
And we're running short on time, but the one thing I want to ask is, structure wise you need to come up with a good metaphor for how this is going to go. Like, is it a presidential debate? Is it a boxing match? Is it, you know what I mean? Like come up with a good structure that makes it clear at the beginning, like, okay, I know what path this show is going to take, so that your content stands out.
I get what you're saying. Yeah. That's a really good point.
Yeah. I think that's the one thing we're still zoning in on, but we're still circling a little. While we have a minute, we were also thinking about maybe doing a couple different debates with this format. Mm-hmm. How does, like, which movie serial killer do you think the average human could take in a fight? How does that hit you?
It's a great debate. I would focus on one. I think it's going to be hard enough to deliver on one, unless they're related. You know, you could do the fast food and the side battle possibly as part of the same, because they're food related.
We definitely want to have one, but we're going to, by way of practice and having different options to select one, one's best, we're going to run through more than one.
Yeah, it's not a bad one. I'll be honest, I'm really enjoying the food oriented ones for some reason. And I don't know if this is a personal bias or because I'm hungry.
Are you hungry?
Yeah, it's possibly just that. Well, I'm going to stretch the rules and just say, like, really focus on that structure, because that was one of the things you did so well in week one, was you figured out a great structure where I never wondered what the show was about. So I'll leave you with that thought.
Okay. Thank you, Tom.
All right.
Thank you, Tom.
All right.
Let's listen in on their work sessions.
I really feel like this one worries me a lot.
Let's just brainstorm a little bit. Let's come up with some ideas and see how it goes.
Well, can I say right off the bat that I don't think that the thing that is going to make or break this challenge is going to be what we debate about.
Right.
It won't, but it is important.
No,
it's important. Yeah but it won't. You're right. It won't.
No. Yeah, because I think if, like, we should go 100 miles away from Is a Hot Dog a Sandwich? Is Die Hard a Christmas movie? Those were...
No, Die Hard is a Christmas movie. It's okay, not that's a debate.
Not, no, it's not, but that's not what we're here to discuss. Because, like, that's something that's been, you know, in the popular media, it gets brought up on everything. It's like, okay.
Is whatever we're doing, we need to have facts. And there needs to be a mixture of us debating, but also us educating.
I keep fucking with your format. I'm sorry.
That's fine.
Okay.
Yeah. I don't know, but I'll just throw it out there. I'm exceptionally liberal, so.
Right. So. No. I mean, yeah.
I feel like that's kind of just the genre that we, like, that's kind of all the fans of the podcasting, like Scott and Brian are. Sure. They tend to be more liberal.
Regardless of whether people agree or disagree on that, nobody really talks about it.
Right.
Right.
Like that's, so also, who cares?
Just to throw the, does anybody think that Scott is sort of a crapshoot? I have no idea.
He's really
from
hard.
Week to week, what the hell Scott is going to like.
I love
and what
Scott.
He like.
He's an idol of mine, but when I would listen to the first season, I would listen to it while it was coming out, and there were like every week almost, I was like, what are you doing? Are you...
Jury's pretty easy. I think I got Jenny too. I think we've got, you know, what Jenny likes and what she does. Scott, I have no freaking idea what he's gonna like.
Because Scott shoots from the hip. He's all emotion based.
It's very from his. He's judging from his gut. I think it would be. It's sort of a trigger for Justin. So I don't think we would get a rational, as rational a judging as we could. But the reason I want to bring it up is because. The type of revelatory education you could do there is you could talk about a lot of research. You could come up with things that people might not know. Did you know that there was a bunch of research that was done that showed that tipping, that quality of service, or let's say that tipping behavior of patrons does not correlate with quality of service. Hey everyone, dust off your podiums and get out your legal pads. We've got some arguments to make. In the name of love, it's time for Date Debate. Hi, I'm Bobby Frankenberger, and this is Date Debate, the show where we provide you definitive answers to your relationship questions. Maybe you're just trying to decide whose family you'll be staying with over Thanksgiving. Or maybe it's a bit more serious and you can't figure out which brand of peanut butter you should be stocking in the pantry. Either way, you'll find your answers here. And in order to solve your problems with the utmost certainty, I have put together a panel of relationship experts to form a debate crucible, which will blast away any inferior choices and leave us with the purity of truth. Let's meet them. First up is David Luzader. How are things, David?
I'm good. I'm excited. I'm ready to go. Let's get this question asker the answer they need.
And next we have Kristen Stubblefield. Kristen?
Happy to be here as always. I hope to provide insight to all those lovely daters out there.
Finally, we have Don Miller. How's it been going, Don?
It has been great, and I am really happy to provide my years of wisdom to help you out with your dating needs.
Let's jump right into the question, guys. The email's from listener calling themselves the Disney Dater. They write, Dear Date Debate, Halloween is fast approaching, and I want me and my boyfriend to do a Disney-themed couple's costume. Which Disney couple would make the best couple's costume to dress as? That was almost a tongue twister, Disney Dater, but I got through it. What do you think? Disney, I mean, you know, Halloween is coming up, and this is an important sort of question.
Yeah, I'm not usually an advocate for couples costumes personally, but a lot of people are fans, and I think a Disney couple is a great way to go.
Yeah, I do too. There's an awful lot to choose from, so I'm going to have to think about this one for a second.
I'm excited. This is straight up my alley.
Yes, and you guys are going to make this easier because the way this works is I present your question to the panel, and each of them is going to be advocating passionately for a potential solution to the death in our veritable Thunderdome ideas. After we've done that and we've battled it out, only one solution will remain, and that, dear listener, will be your answer. So what I'll do is give each of our panel 30 seconds to present and make a quick opening argument for what they believe to be the correct answer to this question. Then we'll go right into open discussion. Are you guys ready?
We are ready.
Ready. Mm-hmm.
All right, first up, because he spoke first, is Don. Don, let's hear it.
All right, I'm going to go with the wholesome, down-home, earthy Bo Peep and Woody, because they are just the cutest couple, and it's so wonderfully wholesome and amazing.
All right, wholesome and amazing and recognizable, which we'll get into later. Next is David. David, what do you got?
It's a tale as old as time. It's a song as old as rhyme. It's Beauty and the Beast. If you want to go with a Disney costume, look no further than this iconic duo. Everyone knows them. Everyone grew up with them or saw them in the theater. The first animated movie nominated for Best Film. Not Best Animated Film, Best Film. Beauty and the Beast. If you're looking for the best Disney couple, go no further. There they are.
Yes, Street Cred is what you're talking about. And then finally, Kristen, what do you got for us?
I only have one word for you. Supercalifragilisticexpialidocious. Duh, it has to be Bert and Mary Poppins. Perfect couples costume.
Short, sweet, succinct. You're very convicted, I can tell, Kristen. So let's get to it. Let's go ahead and start arguing about it. What I want to do is kind of draw a circle around this. I think it's important for a costume. It is a costume to be accessible and easy to make, because that's, you know, what you're going to have to do, either make it or get it. So, Kristen, how are you going to convince me that Bert and Poppins is an accessible or easy to make costume?
Easy to find pieces. Hats, scarf, a bow tie, an umbrella, and a broom. That's all you need. Slap some super glue, some flowers to her hat, and put some soot on your face and a vest, and you've got Bert and Mary Poppins easy.
You just listed like 6 or 7 items. That's not
all things you can find in a Goodwill box.
In a Goodwill, how much soot is sitting around in a Goodwill box is what I'm asking here.
Have you been to Goodwill lately, David?
Look, all I'm saying, Beauty and the Beast, you need, you know, whoever's going to be Beauty, you're wearing that nice yellow dress. Beast, you get to wear a dope werewolf costume and a blue jacket over it, and you're good to go.
I don't know. And Bo Peep and Woody, I mean, really, seriously. I like this a whole lot because the costumes are a little bit different. Bo Peep is this nice country girl with the nice hat and the polka dot dress. And Woody's sort of like the cowboy, you know, in the yellow checkered shirt. Really easy to find stuff. You know, you grab a cowboy hat and a vest and off you go. I think that one's really good.
I will admit, for a Goodwill find, you're going to find that checkered shirt in about every Goodwill.
That one's going to be an easy find.
My only counter to both of yours is, Don, how well do you think you could represent a hairy werewolf? And David, how well do you think an average female can handle that many ruffles on either of your choices?
That's fair, Kristen. That's a fair point, especially about the ruffles. One of the other things I think is really important for us to consider in a couple's costume on a Halloween, you're going to be out and about, maybe going to parties and doing stuff. You need to be able to move around in this thing. You need to be able to easily eat and drink in the costume. David, how are you going to convince me that that Beast costume and that big yellow bell dress is going to be easy to do all that in?
Who said big yellow bell dress? I didn't say you have to have a big fluffy yellow dress. You just need a yellow dress. You can find any one of those. People are going to get it because you're going to have somebody there. You don't even need the full werewolf costume. You can get a werewolf mask, get werewolf hands, wear, you know, the blue jacket and the clothes. You're totally fine outside of that. And you know what? Just lift that mask up to eat.
There you go. Just lift it up to eat. What about Woody and... there's probably going to be makeup involved, maybe,
No, I don't think there's really any makeup with, maybe a little bit of, rouge for Bo Peep, but you know, you find a nice pink bonnet, you know, you got a white dress with some pink polka dots on it. Woody is basically dressed as a cowboy, you know, everything's open. You can eat, you can move around. He's got jeans on. She's got a nice white dress. It's all good. You can move around. You can eat and drink.
Are we talking about classic Bo Peep, or are we talking about Toy Story 4 Bo Peep, who's got the overalls and she's like she's very mobile?
Yes, I believe you could go with either one. I was thinking more of the classic Bo Peep because that's the one that more people would know. But you know, you could go with Toy Story 4 if you wanted to, you know, jazz it up a little bit.
Sure. Kristen, I think. I think it's pretty apparent that Bert and Poppins are not going to be that difficult to move around in. I mean, you're not going to have to convince me too hard.
I can do you one better, Bobby.
Okay.
The best thing about Mary Poppins is you make a brown bottle worth of alcohol, and you walk around and give people spoons full of medicine. It is perfect. Oh. You don't have any problems. You got some red lipstick. You got to reapply maybe once, twice over the night. And the soot just gets sootier. It's great.
Having a gimmick with your costume is a strong left hook. I'm going to have to say that this was a close one for me. It really came down to the gimmick of Bert and Poppins versus the werewolf costume double of...
I gotta say, that gimmick did also convince me.
It's an opening icebreaker. It's great.
Yep, and so I am gonna have to... I think I'm gonna have to give it to Bert and Poppins on this one. And it's a more recent movie that's come out. Not the remake, but the newer one. So maybe recognizability there as well. And listener... we're going to have to give it to Bert and Poppins. That's your costume. That's your couple's costume.
A spoonful of sugar.
Spoonful of sugar was pretty good.
All right. There you have it, folks. Let us know your opinion at Date Debate, or you can email us at datedebate@gmail.com, especially if you have questions in your love life that need answering. That's what we do here. Thank you for listening. And from me, Bobby, David, Dawn, and Kristen, bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye-bye, guys.
That was Date Debate, the sock puppet's entry into the point-counterpoint challenge. On the next two episodes, we'll catch up with Forest Bench Wizard Blast and the Banana Hugs to check on their progress. And then later this week, it's the judging and elimination episode where someone will leave the competition. It's all coming up this week on America's Next Top Podcaster.